Alrighty. Well, thank you. And I'm going to talk about occupational exposures to antineoplastic agents in a hospital hematology oncology department. And this is a study performed by myself and Dr. Chandra Nashutin out of UNMC. Well, just to begin, just a brief statement about antineoplastic agents. And you might hear to me refer to them as chemotherapy drugs, and in the case of my presentation, I'll use them as synonyms. But antineoplastic agents are compounds that inhibit or prevent the proliferation of neoplasms or cancer. They're cytotoxic, toxic to the cells, and genotoxic as well, and to the patient and also workers who are exposed to these drugs. And several are recognized as IARC carcinogens. In terms of occupational exposures, there's a few high-risk groups. For example, pharmacy staff who prepare the chemotherapy drugs, environmental service workers who clean patient rooms that have been being administered these drugs, and finally nurses and nursing techs, aides, assistants, support staff, and those last two are bolded because that's what I'll be focusing on. Now, in terms of regulations, there is no OSHA or any standards or regulations in terms of protecting workers from chemotherapy drugs. However, there's several guidelines that have been published for best practice. In 2004, NIOSH issued an alert in terms of, or for the purpose of protecting healthcare workers from these type of drugs. And all the guidelines are fairly straightforward and comparable. Wearing two pairs of chemo-resistant gloves when handling antineoplastic agents, including administering them, wearing goggles and gowns, and also when handling bodily waste that could contain antineoplastic drugs. Once again, straightforward, washing your hands before leaving the drug administration site, and wearing PPE when splashes, sprays, or aerosols are present or could be present. Now, looking at the literature, several investigators have taken a few different approaches to investigating occupational exposures to these type of medications. A few decades ago, scientists have recognized some health effects and looked at health effects in terms of nurses or others exposed to these drugs. And several studies have shown an increased risk for spontaneous abortions, menstrual dysfunctions, infertility, and learning disabilities in the children and acute learning disabilities in children, and also on top of that, acute system symptoms associated with high dose exposures. Investigators have also looked at PPE use in hospital staff and healthcare workers. Now, not as many studies have been performed on this, but recently studies suggest nurses wear at least one type of glove 90 to 94% of the time when handling antineoplastic drugs. A recent report indicates one study was less than 15% of nurses reported double gloving, and between 20 to 60% in the literature studies show between 20 and 60% wear chemotherapy gowns. Now, finally, investigators have looked at taking a more environmental approach and performed some sampling on surfaces inside the hospital and patient rooms. And several studies have shown widespread contamination of antineoplastic agents on surfaces throughout the hospital. For example, Connor in 1999 found chemotherapy drugs were detectable in 75% of his pharmacy surface samples and 65% of the drug administration area samples. So the purpose of my study was to perform an exposure assessment of antineoplastic agents in the oncology hematology special care unit at a university hospital. So we had two arms to this study, and this was just a case study. But we had two arms. First, a questionnaire to the nursing staff that included nurses and nurses' aides, support staff. There's a 40-question anonymous survey, and just a few examples of things that we asked were how often they worked with 21 different chemotherapy agents, certification and training levels, and we also evaluated frequencies of PPE use. Now, the second component of the study was to perform some environmental sampling. 13 wipe samples were taken in the department, including one negative blank. We looked at surfaces inside the patient room and outside the patient room. And the anti-neoplastic agents of interest that we sampled for were cyclophosphamide, methotrexate, and cytarabine. Here's just a few pictures of me performing those wipe samples. On the left, you see a bag of doxorubicin, I think, and you can tell, you know, it is orange. It just looks toxic. And on the right is me performing a wipe sample on an IV pole. So moving on to the results, what we found in our questionnaire component of the study was that 49% of the nursing staff reported usually or always wearing two pairs of chemo-resistant gloves when handling anti-neoplastic agents. And then 51 reported seldom or never. When it comes to use of chemotherapy-resistant gowns, 86% responded usually or always. And washing hands after handling waste or chemotherapy drugs, 87% reported usually or always wearing or washing hands. Moving on, less than 3% reported wearing surgical masks, N95 respirators, or safety goggles or glasses. Self-reported training and certification levels were 46% reported being certified to administer chemo, 82% reported being trained to administer chemo. And finally, the most frequently handled anti-neoplastic drugs reported were cytarabine. Well, among five, three of them were cytarabine, cyclophosphamide, and methotrexate, the three that we sampled for. So moving on to the sampling results, we did come up with some positive samples inside the patient rooms. You see, in we sampled two rooms, room A and B. In room A, only methotrexate was identified, and room B, only cyclophosphamide. And here you can just see the different the different levels. And just to note, you see some pretty high levels on the IV pump, and also around the toilet areas. And I'll maybe discuss that a little bit. But cytarabine was not detected in any of the samples, and or we did not detect any anti-neoplastic agents on surfaces outside the patient room. So moving on to the discussion, you know, what we found was that most nurses take at least some precautions when handling anti-neoplastic drugs. For example, 96 reported wearing at least one pair of chemo-resistant glove. The use of two pairs of chemo-resistant gloves, which is the current guideline, was higher than previously documented in other reports. However, still half are not in compliance with that professional guideline. And also, similar for chemo-resistant gowns, higher than previously previous studies, but still not all nurses are taking this precaution. And more than 10% did not regularly wash their hands after handling chemotherapy drugs or waste containing that. Also, several surfaces inside the patient rooms were contaminated, and that's what we expected. And you know, we did identify higher concentrations on the IV pump and the toilet. And you know, just to hypothesize, and some of the sources of those higher levels would be. When it comes to the IV pole, during administration, any kind of splashes or spills or during that, but also for the toilet or the bathroom area, a probable source would be patient excreta. You know, these anti-neoplastic agents are excreted in excreta, such as urine and sweat. So, and the contamination we think might be from recent patients, and that's indicated by only one drug being found in one room and another drug being found in the other room. And we were told that one of the patients had been receiving that drug that was identified And finally, you know, we didn't detect any antineoplastic agents, and we did a sample on the plastic delivery bag of the IV, and we didn't find any there, and also we did not detect any on nurses' computer stations, which could suggest that at least they're keeping cross-contamination low. You know, just to finish up here, you know, just a few limitations. This is just a case study, snapshot of one department. We did ask some health questions, health effects questions, but we did not use a control group, and that's something that we might try later on. We didn't define chemo certification, and you know, many nurses support staff did not. Some of them did not answer the PPE questions, and they might have written comments. I'm not a nurse. I don't administer these drugs, but they might be unknowingly exposed to these drugs if they think that, well, I don't administer them, then I'm not exposed. But if they're in the patient room, what this study shows and several other studies shows that they are indeed exposed, but might be at higher risk because they don't know. And you know, few studies have investigated detailed PPE usage with antineoplastic agents. So that's where the study is strong, I feel. And we used a combination of exposure assessment methods. So in conclusion, you know, we found that many nurses were not in compliance with professional guidelines. We did not detect any surfaces outside or any chemotherapy outside the patient room. However, inside the patient room, we did come back with some positive results, and there indeed exists an increased risk for exposures for these workers. And just our results stress the importance of the adherence to NIOSH or OSHA guidelines. And finally, this is my last slide. So, you know, there needs to be a clear educational program that promotes these guidelines when nurses are hired on these in these departments. And also, other staff, nursing support staff, even housekeeping staff, which we witnessed, not they weren't wearing proper PPE. They should, you know, wear the same. They should follow the same guidelines as well. And finally, you know, medical surveillance is recommended, or a medical surveillance program is recommended by several organizations, and that can be that can take form in several different ways, whether it's a monitoring, you know, a biomonitoring program for indicators of bladder cancer in urine, or just a simple yearly physician visit. But many hospitals don't have that medical surveillance programs, and that's something that we would recommend, and not only in this department, but nationwide. Okay, and that is all, and I'll take any questions. Okay. Yes. So, okay, your first question was difference between two pairs of gloves. There's been a few studies where, you know, glove studies, and they looked at different, and it's the same, I believe the same investigator that, you know, looked at why we have chemo-resistant gloves compared to just standard latex gloves. But they've looked at studies, and they've actually done some, I think it's... I forgot the name of the type of study, but they've looked at the difference, and when it's you're taking off that single glove, you can contaminate yourself as well. And there's also a risk if the gloves are old that the chemotherapy can just penetrate the glove, just one pair of glove itself. And your second question aerosols, and the data is limited, but one of the theories are that you know, nursing staff, when they dump urine into the toilet, the patient's urine into the toilet, you're creating a lot of aerosols that way, even flushing the toilet as well. In most hospital policies, those chemotherapy drugs are drawn up; they're primed and ready to go, but you know, throughout the course of the day, you know, it's probable that mistakes happen. We ask nurses, sometimes the bag gets spiked improperly. the patient pulls it out, those type of scenarios. So.